Global average temperatures have already risen by 1.1 degrees Celsius since the Industrial Revolution, and only stringent emission cuts will prevent that increase from topping 1.5 degrees Celsius. Boris Johnson said there were no compelling excuses for our procrastination, as the world has now seen firsthand the devastation that climate change causes, from heat waves and droughts to wildfires and hurricanes. His comments capped a weekend of at times dramatic language on climate change from Johnson, who told reporters travelling with him that he had been converted from previous scepticism following scientific briefings when he entered No. 10 Downing Street. Asked if a commitment in the G20's end-of-summit communique to achieve carbon neutrality around the middle of the century was too vague, Boris Johnson said he had hoped for more. "I agree," he said, "and that is a function really of the gap between some colleagues and others." He said COP26 is going to be tricky. "I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to pretend it's other than it is. I think there's a chance that we can make progress. Everybody can see how to do it. It's a question of will and a question of leadership." Asked whether he had shown sufficient leadership given last week's budget, which froze fuel duty and cut levies for short-haul flights and cuts to the aid budget, Boris Johnson pointed to the United Kingdom's achievements in cutting emissions and targets for phasing out petrol and diesel cars. Ahead of the summit in Glasgow, No. 10 Downing Street said it would be contributing a further £1 billion over 5 years to climate finance, taking its commitment from £11.6 billion over 5 years in 2019 to £12.6 billion by 2025. However, the pledge money will be drawn from the foreign aid budget, which Boris Johnson's government has slashed this year and is contingent on Britain's economy growing as forecast. The G20 communique stressed the importance of fulfilling the commitment to provide $100 billion to help poor countries adapt to climate change. The United Kingdom has acknowledged that COP26 is not going to meet the hoped-for $100 billion pledge this year. The complex negotiations, which need to resolve more than 130 technical issues, as well as the headline issues of keeping 1.5 degrees Celsius alive, have already run into logistical trouble owing to COVID restrictions. The main negotiating room has a capacity of 144 because of social distancing. Patricia Espinosa, the Executive Secretary of the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, said that as we have 193 parties in the COP26 summit, that's literally not enough.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a researcher.
I'm a mother.
I'm a lawyer.
And I believe in acting kindly toward you, because you are...
A Muslim lady.
You are very special. There's no one just like you.
From Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of Muslim Lady. In the studio with me, I have the honor and absolute privilege of being joined by my darling friend and dear sister, Sister Razia Shamli. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. How are you, my dear Zainab?
Alhamdulillah, I'm very well and even better when I'm in the studio with you.
Alhamdulillah, the same here.
So on the previous episode of Muslim Lady, we were talking about the history, the vague history, to be honest, that surrounds the daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as you mentioned, Ruqayya, Zainab, Fatima, Kulthum. All of them but Sayyida Fatima passed away before Rasulullah, during the life of Rasulullah, and Sayyida Zahra obviously was martyred and passed away shortly after her beloved father. We talked about the exemplary treatment Rasulullah had, not only toward his own daughters, or the daughters of Sayyida Khadija, but the daughters of all his wives, his stepdaughters, daughters of strange men, actually, other men living in his house. But he respected them, he cared for them, I think he even taught them in certain points. Well, such a blessing for those women to be in the proximity of Habibullah, you know, the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also the way Rasulullah came about and single-handedly eradicated the dark, bitter culture that existed in the Arabic Peninsula of that time regarding women in general, and how he revived and returned their God-given right, dignity, and position, which was the mercy of a household, the door toward Allah's heavens for the father, the blessing, the abundant goodness, and all of that. He just redefined them, reintroduced them to the people again, and broke stereotype.
All that, we said that you can look at the relationship between Fatima, Sayyida Fatima, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from an educational perspective.
Yes.
And how you can implement these into your daily lives as father, and the relationship you can possibly have with your daughter. Of course, one can claim that perhaps some of his extreme respect for Fatima was because of her elevated spiritual ranking.
Unparalleled, yeah.
That she had.
Mm.
And of course, the noble prophet was her mentor, right? Mm. And her guide. Not only like a... He was the prophet, and he had a very close relationship with Fatima. Later we will say the different things that happened between the two of them. Now, according to narrations, after Lady Fatima's marriage with Ali ibn Abi Talib, her house was a distance away from the house of the noble prophet, and the messenger of Allah would go a long distance every single day to the house of Fatima.
Wait, how is her house a distance away? Her house
in the very beginning of her marriage.
Okay, before they built.
Before, next to the Masjid al-Nabi. He would go for, some distance to see his beloved daughter, mm-hmm. right? And maybe this was the reason why the Muslims built a house close to the house of the noble prophet. For Sayyida Fatima,
right.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. Indeed, we have granted you, O Muhammad, Al-Kawthar. So pray to your Lord and sacrifice to Him alone.
Inna
Indeed, your enemy is the one cut off.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Muslim Lady.
Welcome back to Muslim Lady here in the studio. I'm with my darling sister Razia Shamili, and we're talking about the historical details behind the life of the numerous daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. About the relationship of the Prophet with his granddaughters, we can say that he was an exceptional grandfather. And there was the case of Amana. Mm-hmm. There was this case of Amana, Zainab's daughter, remember?
Yep.
Right? He loved her a lot. And obviously, when, you know, he would gift them from time to time. And in the book of Tabaqat, which is a historical book, it is narrated that once the noble prophet received a beautiful necklace as a gift, right? And he faced his wife and he said, I will give it to the one who is more lovable to me. And then everybody witnessed that he gave this beautiful necklace to Amana, right? So this was just a small instance of the love of a grandfather to a beautiful grandchild.
And to have a grandfather like Rasulullah, it's something exceptional.
It just melts your heart.
It truly does.
Right. The noble prophet paid, like, he invested so much emotional
energy
into his daughters and into the girls in his family. And beautifully, all this warmth, love and attention and extra care to these girls, which you might think that he's spoiling them, turned these women to be brave, strong, influential women in their history.
I need you to elaborate on that because most of them just died.
Yeah, but I can talk more. Lady Fatima herself,
Salamullah
alayha. This much love, this much attention that he paid to Lady Fatima and the khutbah of Fadakiya, that it talks for itself.
Self-sufficient.
Just, you know, I don't have to explain more.
True. It gave her that confidence, self-worth, self-respect, integrity,
and
strength.
She never, ever exited her house. She wasn't in the society like, you know, like we are these days. To say that, well, you know, we have experience being with other men and being around men. And, you know, we know how to speak out. We know how to defend our rights because we have passed classes. We have been brought up this way in our school systems, in our public speaking classes, you know, in women's rights, all these movies that you're constantly bombarded with, girl empowerment, woman empowerment, Supergirl, this, that. You just take a look at all the new animations that have been made and you'd see that in all of them, the main feature, the main character, is a girl who has been empowered.
That is the current trend.
And this girl is treated, is made to be treated roughly and harshly. She has to find her way in the jungle. She has to fight her way amongst the people in the society. She has to prove herself. She has to say that I'm, you know, first she's a girl. Nobody looks at her. Nobody respects her. Nobody even considers her as a human being. Then she proves that I can not only change my destiny, but I can change the destiny of my people. And I was watching a movie. I watch movies analytically. And in one of these movies, the girl was saying that over decades, there have been so much emphasis on the role on empowering women that men have been driven to the periphery.
Right.
To the margin of life. And the result is a bunch of loser guys. Seriously. Who are not strong men, who are not responsible husbands and fathers, and, you know, they're just feminine.
We're going to go on a short break, and we're going to be right back, so don't go anywhere.
please send any suggestion, any idea to our email that is englishradio@irib.ir.
Prior to modernity, in the traditional stage of life, there were certain values in the society mm-hmm. where there was patriarchy. The man was the head of his family. He was the breadwinner. And with the money that he brought, he had power. He had position. You know, in the family, he spent for his family. And with the spending of money, it gave him a sense of authority, a sense of power. And in the society, with this power, with this money that he earned, he had social power, social status. Now, everything changed after the revolution, after the Industrial Revolution, where machines came and factories were designed in a way that women could do many of the things. And after the First and Second World Wars,
women had to do a lot of the things.
Where men were absent from cities and women replaced them. They were the breadwinners. You know, so many things changed, right? And here, in the midst of all these changes, we still have a lot of identity crisis. We don't know where we fit in the society, like as a woman. The lines, the border lines of male and female are becoming more
blurred,
and more blurred.
Yeah. And aside from the fact that we suffer from identity crisis as a people, we're having trouble defining what society needs to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
You know? We're having troubles defining whether society needs working woman or
housewife mom.
A caring mother. And interestingly, there was one of the lecturers, from our Sunni brothers, who was saying that the word housewife, who was the first person to coin it anyway? In Arabic, when Islam reveres that position, they call it the Rabbul Bayt.
Mm.
No, it's the woman.
It's the woman?
Yes, of the Bayt. She's the one who manages the home. She's the one who cares for it. She's the one who nourishes it. She's the one who supports it. She's the one who trains it. She's the one who... saying that she's a housewife, it's like she's married to the house, you know?
Mm.
She's the cooker and the cleaner and the washer and the diaper changer and the... But no, when you look at it as the person who is the murabbi, you know, the trainer of the home, of the hearts, of the individuals, the one who's responsible of the human aspect of the house rather than laundry and dishes and food. Sayyida Zahra was happy about not being given masculine duties of having to leave her home and being rubbing shoulders with men in society and digging wells and planting trees and farming and fighting and, you know, going to the marketplace. You don't need to be masculine to be an extraordinary woman. Thank you so very much, Sister Razia, and thank you so very much for our listeners for being with us on yet another episode of Muslim Lady. Until another greeting and salam, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty.
Who is the lover?
Allah.
Who is Ar-Rahman?
Allah.
Who is Al-Mannan?
La ilaha illallah. Muhammadur Rasulullah. Muhammad is the messenger. To Allah is our return. La ilaha
the Quran. Given by God to Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, more than 1400 years ago, as guidance for humanity. Quran speaks about women.
The Quran teaches the equality of men and women in the eyes of Allah.
Chapter 33, verse 35.
All praise is due to the one and only. He is the master of all creation.
Modesty and chastity are encouraged by the Quran, both for women and for men.
Chapter 24, verses 30 and 31.
He is the sustainer and the maintainer of the whole universe.
God created us from one male and one female and made us into nations and tribes
so that we make to know one another, not to despise each other.
Chapter 49, verse 13.
La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, Muhammad is the messenger, to Allah is our return.
The Quran has indicated worthy women in history just as it has mentioned such men, and has commended them greatly.
Chapter 3, verse 37.
Food for thought. Hello, dear listeners, and here is another thought-provoking saying for our guidance from Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Live amongst the people in such a manner that if you die, they weep for you, and if you're alive, they crave for your company.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The light.
Legends never die. So, 1 year after his death, Argentinians are remembering their hero on his birthday. And that's no one but their legendary football player, Diego Maradona. It would have been Maradona's 61st birthday this year. People all around the country, including in the capital, Buenos Aires, remembered their iconic figure in ceremonies over the weekend. In the city of Rosario, a giant monument was inaugurated in honor of the football star. You can see on your screens fans gathering there in celebration. They say Maradona's love still runs in the veins of Argentinians. Amsterdam, the capital of the Netherlands, is riddled with waterways through which thousands of boats pass each day. Soon, the city may also be hosting self-driving vessels. Amsterdam's Institute for Advanced Metropolitan Solutions has devised an autonomous boat that can cross the city's busy canals without the help of a conductor. The watercraft, named a rowboat, is the size of a small car. The developers intend to use the boats for tasks ranging from transporting people to collecting trash. They think it can also be used for less conventional purposes, like preventing oil spills or forming a temporary bridge. Amsterdam's authorities are considering locations for a trash collection pilot project starting early next year. One of the disastrous effects of climate change has been the loss of glaciers worldwide. People around the world are trying new ways to tackle this problem. Now, a team of Chilean conservationists have come up with a creative project to protect glaciers and prevent water loss. The project is called Nilus. Winter rains are collected in cone-like structures called stupas. Experts from Chile are using a technology that was first developed in India to make these man-made glaciers. The water is then later used in the dry summer months. Chile has been experiencing a severe drought for years. NILO's director, Enrique Gilona, says the project hopes to address water shortages in the country.
Here we are not creating new water. Water is something that is in nature already. It has a cycle, but clearly it has been affected by the effects of the great climate change, which we are facing. And we are looking for a solution that actually allows us to protect this water for a longer time in the mountain range, to be able to deliver it downstream toward the communities.
The goal is to store some 100 million liters of water across 50 stupas next year. This would be enough water to supply 100,000 people for 3 months. The first prototype was erected in Park Arenas, an area known for its glaciers surrounding a volcano, the highest parts of the mountain region. Researchers and activists have warned that glaciers in the Andes Mountains have been receding in recent years. They blame climate change for the loss of glaciers and water shortages. A photo on social media, an article, or a TV program can all draw attention to climate change. But to a German artist, nothing seems to be as effective as a journey using a giant wire ball to make his voice heard. Arndt Drossel started his journey from his hometown Paderborn, West Germany, 3 months ago. The trip has so far taken him through more than 60 cities. He has completed the journey to the Scottish city of Glasgow, the venue of a major UN climate conference. Drossel says he aims to tell people how they can help tackle climate change, now a key global problem. The German artist believes everyone has a duty to solve the problem, to help next generations have a good future.
My wife and we have 5 children, and we want to give them a good and happy future. And everybody knows, I think, about the problems our Earth has, and we will have the same problem in several cities and countries.
The German artist says he has encouraged people to make specific promises to tackle climate change. He says his own pledge was to offset all his personal carbon emissions by using the sphere for his journey. Drossel says he will continue his efforts until the promises reach a million. Meet Clarion, a homemade polar bear whose mission is to raise awareness of climate change in a 500-kilometer pilgrimage to Glasgow. The 3-meter polar bear is work of British furniture maker Bamber Hoss. The bear weighs 17 kilograms and is made of bamboo, willow, and tissue paper. Hoss started his journey with Clarion from his hometown of Bishop's Castle in England to Glasgow. They accomplished their spectacular journey ahead of the United Nations COP26 climate conference in the Scottish city. Hoss says Clarion is a symbol of melting Arctic ice caps due to global warming.
He's called Clarion. Clarion the bear is not a bear, he is a metaphor, he's a symbol. It is a very obvious symbol that a polar bear represents the Arctic, not the Antarctic, and that is where, you know, some of the problems are with melting ice caps, not all the problems because they're elsewhere as well.
Hoss says his aim is to encourage people to pay attention to climate change. Environmental activists from across the UK and elsewhere on the continent have also embarked on a long journey on foot to reach the UN Climate Change Conference in Glasgow. Did you know that animals might have the potential to help tackle climate change? Strange indeed. But that seems to be the case, according to scientists. The sheep on a remote Scottish island have a special diet that consists mainly of seaweed. This feature is what scientists are hoping can help reduce global warming. Sheep usually feed on grass, and the process contributes to methane emissions. But scientists say the sheep in Orkneys are unique because of spending the winter eating only the marine plants. Listen to one researcher explaining whether fitting seaweed into the sheep diet can actually help reduce gas emissions.
The main thing at the moment is we need to absolutely prove, one, which seaweed is going to be the best for this, what amount of seaweed into the feed gives the best effect, and then can you scale that up to a level where you would actually have an effect on the overall UK farming.
If proven, the Scottish sheep and their unique diet could lead to a breakthrough in methods for livestock breeding, which is a major source of greenhouse gases. Methane is about 30 times more powerful than carbon dioxide in trapping heat in the atmosphere.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Flocks of sheep are on the streets of Madrid. The animals have made their way through the center of the Spanish capital to follow ancient migration routes. Shepherds accompanied their sheep and goats moving through the streets of the Spanish capital. They actually marked a centuries-old annual tradition that began in 1994. The event allows shepherds to migrate their cattle from summer to winter pastures. They do so based on a deal struck in 1418 that allows the animals to walk through the city freely. The event attracts hundreds of people. It was canceled last year due to the pandemic, but this year, many locals came out to watch.
The Philippines is among the countries facing a soaring plastic waste crisis. However, a group of recyclers are working hard to tackle the problem, turning the waste into building materials. The group is called the Plastic Flamingo, or simply the PLUF. They gather bottles, single-use sachets, and snack food wrappers. The waste is then shredded and molded into post-add planks that can be used for decking and fencing. Their products are also durable enough to make disaster relief shelters and urban furniture. The group says the coronavirus pandemic has worsened the plastic waste problem, sparking a rush for protection equipment. Their disposal is a matter of concern now.
Because of the plastic problem we're currently facing, the pandemic, the huge accumulation of plastic use, there's also improper disposal. People are unaware on, you know, how do I dispose these plastics, where do I dispose of them. So at the same time, we give that avenue also that instead of putting it in landfills or oceans in general, you know, you give it to the PLUF, you give it to recycling centers like us, and we would recycle these, upcycle them into better products.
The PLUF says surging online shopping is also another problem that they try to address. The group has collected over 100 tons of plastic waste since it started the business in 2019. However, they still have a lot to do. A UN report says some 300 million tons of plastic waste are produced annually, with South Asian countries accounting for 60% of it. A North Macedonian zoo has a new inhabitant. It may be small, but it has certainly sparked a big amount of joy. The baby marmoset was born 3 weeks ago. Its parents are super protective of their precious offspring. That's why zoo staff have not been able to get close to the baby and determine if it's a male or a female. The tiny primate will be given a name after its sex is known. Marmosets are the world's smallest monkeys. On average, they are about 13 centimeters long and weigh up to 100 grams. The adorable animals can be found in a number of countries in the Americas.
The hustle and bustle of modern life has made it difficult to communicate with nature the way humans used to do a few decades ago. Now, a giant statue in the state of New York reminds us of the importance of lending an attentive ear to our surroundings. The massive statue, named Water's Soul, is located along the Hudson River. A woman's head with her index finger pressing on her lips seems she's asking bystanders to maintain silence. It's a work of 66-year-old Spanish artist Juanme Palenza. He says the message of his work is, quote, to call on people to listen to the profound noise of the water talking to us. Water's Soul was made of polyester resin, fiberglass, and marble dust at a Barcelona studio. It was later shipped to its Jersey City site for assembly. The sculpture is 24 meters tall.
You might have heard of Iran's stellar wrestling achievements or about its soccer team, but that's not all. Another sport has grabbed attention too. Golfers now competing during Iran's national golf tournament in Tehran. This year, 90 participants from around the country played on a very unique golf course. It has only 13 holes instead of the standard 18, but that hasn't stopped golf enthusiasts playing the 13 holes and then repeating the last five to complete the tournament. The good news is that the golf course might not stay so small for long. Iran's Golf Federation hopes to bring in more people interested in golf. But for this to happen, the infrastructure must be provided first.
We don't have the space to use the 350 instructors to train the 3,000 registered men and women across the country, so we decided to build a national academy off the golf course. Course number 18 will be used in a competition venue during tournaments and as a training and education venue during non-competition times.
When the course was built decades ago in northern Tehran, it had five more holes. But over the years, fairways were laid across parts of the field, reducing playable footprint. Tehran's golf club has about 300 members, half are women. Golf has been around in Iran for over a century, and most of the courses are in southern provinces. Concerned about endangered animals? If yes, then it will be good news that a Mexican zoo has welcomed a newborn zebra. It belongs to the most threatened of the three species of zebra in the world. The foal made a public appearance Thursday, 10 days after it was born at a zoo in northern Mexico. It's about 50 centimeters tall. Its weight, between 10 to 15 kilograms. The newborn equine raises hopes for the conservation of the imperial zebra species.
We are the only zoo in Mexico that has this species of zebra. Unfortunately, it is an endangered species. Here at the zoo, we are doing everything possible to preserve and produce them so that in the future we can repopulate some other parks.
The imperial zebra is native to Africa. It is the largest of the wild equids, the family of horses, donkeys, and other animals. Currently, there are less than 2,500 of imperial zebras in the wild. That's blamed on the destruction of their habitat, illegal hunting, and lack of food.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
وبالإسلام دينا رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, this is today's special, so welcome. Today we're going to speak about how to manage stress in Islam.
يا الله يا رحمن حقق أمانينا وفقنا في كل آن فيما سعينا. يا الله يا منان حقق أمانينا وفقنا في كل آن فيما سعينا. Grateful today for difference and change, for all colors and shades, 'cause you made it this way. وهبتنا النبراس في حب كل الناس أغدق لنا إحساس أنت هادينا.
Today, Wednesday, is the 27th of Rabiul Awwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 12th of Aban, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 3rd of November, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. By listening to verse 153 of chapter Baqarah, we bless this moment.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين.
O you who have believed, seek help through patience and prayer. Indeed, Allah is with the patient.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Real faith can never be mere empty words. It must express or manifest itself through patience and endurance in all that befalls the individual to show his faithfulness to Allah. The help from Allah must be sought through prayers or supplications to the Lord. The objective meaning of the phrase Allah is with the patient ones is that his help, assistance, guidance, success, favors, the protection from pests, the perfection of intentions, as well as his other blessings are showered upon the patient by him. Those who are extremely stressed can find peace and relaxation by utilizing different Islamic oases. Medicine has been proven to be inefficient in dealing with the original causes of stress, nor can it adequately eliminate all of its symptoms. Medicine may be necessary for a person in the most critical stages of chronic stress, but medicine alone may not be enough to achieve a cure for all its symptoms. Scientists are trying to find new strategies to cope with the stress and minimize its effects. These include relaxation techniques, meditation, imagination, 2-5, and yoga, 6. These techniques are extensively studied to determine their effects and mechanisms of action. Different studies have confirmed the efficacy of these techniques in coping with the stress and eliminating its effects. Most of these techniques are rooted in Islamic spirituality and different Islamic forms of worship, ibadah, which can be considered as good tools for coping with life's stresses.
Those who are extremely stressed can find peace and relaxation for their minds, body, and soul utilizing the following Islamic oases. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with how to confront stress or how to manage stressful situations. We have to know that we ourselves should make a great change in our current situation. It's we who are expected to make such a great change in our current situations. For example, in the Holy Quran, it's indicated, "Inna Allah la yughayyiru ma biqawmin hatta yughayyiru ma bi-anfusihim." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not make any change in our affairs unless we make the initial changes. It doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obeys us, but it implies that we are not robots. I mean, we are expected to take the initial and the first steps in order to make a great change in our situation, in our community, and in our current system. So we find that, I mean, based on such indications, we find that those people who are rather forgetful or oblivious regarding their own situation, they are not expected to see any improvement in their lives because they themselves haven't been that active. In contrast to this, we find that those people who are active or who use power of intellection and brain and, I mean, the power of thinking, and they are thoughtful enough, they think about any situation or any forthcoming case and context, so they would be able to take the right decision at the right time.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
Looking at the ways to lower our daily stress, we reach to enjoying the company of family and friends. The lonelier you are, the more you will attract negative feelings. Keep in touch with your family members and close friends to feel better and spread some love. A study from the University of Michigan found that chatting released hormones involved in bonding, which in turn reduced anxiety and stress, thus making the participants happier. So to reduce stress, enjoy some time with your family and friends by doing any kinds of activity. For example, go for a picnic, a bike ride, or just chat. Not only will it help reduce your stress levels, but also help to build strong bonds between each other.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love. And you showed that you're the one who cares the most. And to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, except Al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها لنا يوم القيامة. أمتي أمتي يقولها شفاعة أنا لها.
Other ways is coping with the stress. Although we are all exposed to stress, why can some of us cope with it better than others? Is it the way we deal with the stressors or the way we are built? There are some evidence to suggest that some of us may be genetically predisposed to depression or have deficiency in the level of neurotransmitters. The mood-regulating hormones or just do not produce enough adrenaline on demand. A person's religious belief has an important bearing on his personality and his outlook in life. By putting the trust in Allah, a belief minimizes the stress on him by reducing his responsibility and power to control his failures. Sayyid Saleh al-Qazvini.
It is said that Harun, they call him Harun al-Rashid, Harun the wise man. But he was not a wise man because of what he did to the imams of his time, especially Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam. Harun, he used to speak to the clouds. He used to say, go to the east, go to the west. Wherever you reign, I will benefit. The zakat will come and I will benefit from your reign. They say that the last day of his life, they brought him on a hill and he was watching his army. He had thousands, a huge army under his hands, under his order. But they brought him, there was a small drop of water. It came on his face, it came on his body. Suddenly he started shivering. He started shivering and he realized that this is his last hour. That moment, he realized that his life is over. His mulk, everything that he had, was gone right before his eyes. At that moment, he says, Ya man la yazulu mulkuh, irham man qad zala mulkuh. That moment, this man, Harun, who had the imam of his time in the chambers, in the dungeon, that time he realized, no, Allah is the one who's in control. It's not me. So he said, Ya man la yazulu mulkuh. Oh, he who his power, his kingdom is never taken away from him, have mercy on the one whose kingdom is taken away from him. This is life, my dear brothers and sisters. No matter how successful we think we are, eventually a day will come when we have to separate from whatever we believe is success. This is why when we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our perception of success is going to be completely different. This is why we need to believe in the ghaib, believing in the unseen. And this is the first ingredient to iman. When you open the Quran, the second page of the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, how does it start? Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. This book, this religion, is for the ones who believe in the unseen. If you are not willing to believe in the unseen, if you're not willing to have faith, then you're not going to find satisfaction. Then you're always going to be restless. You're always going to be in anxiety. And this is the problem.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/en. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
You heard. was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.